bless you. Thank you. Thanks, guys. You're precious. Thank you. Man, I didn't think I was going to be too long at all. I've been so emotional since worship. I thought I'd recover by now. I haven't really recovered. You don't help me much, Mr. Jeff. Sitting there playing, "You're worthy of it all."
Come on.
I mean, if you really understand the gospel. You really blessed me. Thanks. What a living epistle and example of just loving Him, huh?
Come on.
Thank you. I looked up this morning, I couldn't stop crying. And it wasn't just because your heart touched my life so much. I felt like the Lord was speaking to me. And He's just so pleased to give us a revelation, but you have to seek Him.
Come on.
You have to want that revelation. It doesn't just fall on your lap. You have to draw near to Him. And I looked at you and you were like a little child. And you were just worshiping, you were kneeling. I couldn't stop crying. I tried to look away and I kept looking back. I was like, "Duh, I'm going to be so messed up." Because I'm not being presumptuous. I understand what was happening in her heart. I've been with Him like that so many times. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, "I'm sorry, I try not to cry. Rarely, I don't know the last time I cried when I preached, maybe 4 years ago here." I'm not coming back. Just thank you for being humble and just loving Him. And I thought, you know what? Whoever you are out there, I'm not talking to you specifically, whoever you are out there, if you just stop long enough to get before Him, just still your mind and just shh, just shh, just shh. Just long enough that your heart would see His beauty. And that you wouldn't just have a doctrine about Him, but you would know Him. That you would meet with Him. You'd forever be changed. Like you wouldn't be able to help it. That's how He is. And I'm telling you, so many of us have good hearts and good intentions, and we don't wake up with evil desire. We wake up to live Christian, to go to church, to serve, to be. But I'm telling you, I kept hearing this in my heart, and I couldn't stop crying, and I was watching her kneel, Brittany kneel, and I'm like, I kept feeling like God was saying He longs to give that revelation if we'll just stop long enough. Shh. Not, "Yeah, but you don't. Yeah, but I don't. But I'm just..." Just long enough to be with Him. You will find Him there. She started singing, "If you would ever see His beauty and look into love that's in His eyes." And I start crying so hard. I'm like, "Stop. This is not fair. I have to get up there. And it's going to look ugly." Guys. Man, we don't come here because it's Sunday morning and this is what Christians do. There's great purpose behind what we do. This is a celebration time. This is a time to stir one another up in love and good works. This is a time to be sure that we're encouraged and focused on why we're alive. Without Jesus, life doesn't even make sense. It's a mystery, and everybody's trying to find who they are all along the way, and each to his own. And it's survival of the fittest, and it's he said, she said, and it's proud, and it's low, and it's there's hot shots, and there's nobodies. And life is weird without Jesus. Life doesn't even make sense. Why? Because He's life.
Come on.
And without Him, we're trying to find out what it's all about, apart from where it came from and what it's all about. And it's weird. I remember what it was like before Him. Trying to get you to notice me and hoping everything went right for me. And hoping people weren't mean to me and hoping my car worked. And making all that stuff matter so much that all that determined who I was. And life was weird. without Him. You're worthy of it all. Oh my goodness, I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. From You are all things, to You are all things. You really deserve the glory. I'm telling you, I looked up at her and I thought, man, if we would just find a place where nobody else was. I'm talking, I'm not mad at your cell phones. I'm not really excited about the way some of you are consumed by them. But I'm not mad at them. I'm a little concerned about our discipline in our lives with blessing. Technology's ridiculous blessing. I'm a little concerned about our self-control and using it for the right purpose. But if you would just have the ability to turn that thing off long enough to get where nobody else is, you just might encounter Him in a way you didn't know was possible. And you might come out of that room different than you thought you could be. And who you think you are might not even be you. It might still be a product of how life is and what's been. And you might have trained yourself to know who you are apart from that revelation. And you might actually say, well, I'm this kind of person. Well, I've been this way my whole life. Well, this is my personality. I'm this type. You might be amazed who you are in this revelation. And you might be amazed who you are in His presence. You look at me today, you don't see anything you just saw 19 years ago. And you wouldn't have let me preach. You wouldn't have gave me a microphone because I didn't have nothing to say. I was angry. I wasn't happy. And I acted happy. And I could look at you and smile and say nice things and walk away and say, what a jerk. And think nothing of it. Didn't even have a faint conviction. Because I was lost and proud in my own self. Man, you blessed me this morning, worship team. Then you went into that old hymn, man. I'm like, this is ridiculous. What are you doing? But it blessed me. I hope it blessed you guys. Listen, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm sorry. I mean, I could preach so much stuff. If you never heard me, I'm sorry about this morning. I could preach for hours and not breathe. I just don't feel that in my heart. I feel God longing us to His presence, longing us to the secret place. I feel like if we don't live from relationship, we'll reduce ourselves to serving Him instead of knowing Him. And that's why we live up and down. That's why we're encouraged some moments and discouraged others, because it's still about us, even though we sing it's about Him. Because He doesn't change. His love never fails. There's no turning or shifting of shadow. There's new mercy and grace every day. No matter what your circumstance, He has the wisdom and He has the answer. And if we don't live from the place of relationship, we'll try to do Him instead of know Him. I'm just really emotional and I'm not... Hi. Can I hug you? Good to see you. I haven't seen you all weekend. I think that He knows you're precious. Whoa. Hi. I feel happy inside. Don't misunderstand my tears. I think my tears are because I've been privileged for a long... People like compliment me a lot. You guys don't know my life, but people talk... They say nice things to me. And it's not my fault. That's what my tears are. The nice things people say, I got nothing to do with it. The things I preach, it's not mine. Being alone with Him when nobody's looking. Countless days and countless hours. People look at my buddy Todd and they go, whoa, that dude's amazing. But you don't know that for 3 months, he spent no less than 8 to 10 hours a day with nobody in a room with his guitar and his Bible for 3 months. A lot of folks haven't even thought that, don't think they could do that. And you might not be in a season where you can do that, but you can be with him. You can talk to him in the car. Instead of praying about your work going better, you can forget about work and just be with him, and you'll see work different when you get there. I'm telling you, we can know him. And it'll change us forever. And we'll without trying, have an impact on our communities. I'm thinking right now as I'm talking to you, getting saved. And I was saved for like 4 weeks. And I took my kids to the public pool because they were little. And we used to join every year. And we had membership. And I got saved. And I wasn't really crazy about going to the pool all the time and hanging out. I used to be because I wasn't saved. I used to go look at everybody's wives and stuff. I'm being honest. And I didn't want to go to the pool. I didn't see anything about it. And I thought I just was kind of hanging out and just should be doing something more useful. I'm not against the pool. I don't think there was anything wrong with it. It was just me. But when I got to the pool, I was only there a couple days. And people started saying, "What happened to you?" I'm like, "What? You're just so different. We see how you are with your kids, and you're just different. What happened to you?" "Man, I'm glad you asked." Within a week, I would go to the pool and set up our little blanket. My wife was hurting at the time. She thought she was still mad at me. She just didn't get a revelation yet. She thought she was still mad. The feeling was real, but the grounds and foundation were frivolous, because if you're changed, if you're transformed, what's it matter about yesterday? If you're a new creation, what's it matter what you said 3 weeks ago if you're changed? Why do you need somebody to make up for what they weren't? Why don't you give them the grace to become? Right. If God was all caught up about what wasn't, we're still a mess. And He is too. He ain't caught up with what you didn't yesterday and what you did yesterday. He's looking at who you've become today. In fact, when you repent and get saved, you'll never be judged for where you've been. You'll be judged for what you've become. Why don't we treat each other that way if He treats us that way? It would give a lot of liberty for change. But my wife wasn't at the pool with us, and I wasn't looking at nobody else's wives. Because I was changed. Because the first conviction I got when I got saved was my definition of manhood. Because it was a problem. And I cried on my knees when you weren't there. And I said, "God, you couldn't have made me this way. It's at the expense of others. It can't be your heart, so it can't be my life. Change me." And I cried so hard, He washed over me.
Come on.
And He changed me. So within a week, I would set up my little blanket, my little chair, and I would watch my kids, and I spent a lot of time in the water with them. I'd give them, and we called them dolphin rides. I'd go in the 3-foot water, and I'd put them on my back and wrap their arms around my neck, and I'd dive under the water, spring off, and go the whole way across the pool and back. And then I did everybody else's kids. We did my daughter's birthday party there, and she had like 25 friends, and I gave a lot of dolphin rides. It's coming up for a lot of air. But within a week, I would be sitting at my blanket for no time at all. And people would gather. 4 weeks saved. But I'm changed. And I'm with Him every day. I can't even go to bed at night without talking to Him. I can't even wake up in the middle of the night without thinking about Him, because He's in me. And we're communing, and we got this thing going on. I'm in love. It's relationship. Can't get Him out of my mind. There was a time I was trying to get Him out of my mind.
Now he won't go away. Ah! He made me look like you. And they would all gather around. Why? Because they saw something different. They saw life. I wasn't preaching at them. I didn't have a bullhorn at the corner of the pole. Oh, repent. Change your ways. They saw my ways were changed. And it intrigued them. You better get saved. If you drowned, you could go to hell. I wasn't preaching stuff like that. I was just changed. I'd have as many as 20 people. I ain't joking. Crowded around my blanket. Talking to me, asking questions, making a drawl on what they saw in my eyes and my heart. And I was 4 weeks saved. Some of them I would talk and communicate. So I'm devouring my Bible. I'm in intimacy and relationship with Holy Spirit every day. That's what made me cry so much, because I can relate. And I'm sitting on my knees in my room and I'm like this. There was a season in my life where I only ever preached like this. The whole time I preached, I'm like this. People, I just preach like this. And I'm a little different now. It doesn't mean this has all changed. Chuck said it yesterday at the house. He said, Dan's got so many emotions in him when he's preaching, but he's learned to. And there's times I'm crying so hard inside and you don't even know it. You might think it, but you don't realize what's going on. 20 people around my blanket, and I'm sitting there and people are going, are you a pastor? Oh my goodness, you have wisdom. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I went to city schools, breezed through, and couldn't wait to get out, and never thought of college. Man, I am not an educated man. I can do my checkbook, but... it's his fault. There's no boasting in anything or anyone. People look at gifting, and people look at anointed folks. People look at somebody prophesying, pinpoint, and we tend to go, whoa, and we get our eyes on that individual. You said it so clear. Jesus is the prophet. He's the... He says, no man has anything unless it's been given. There's no hot shots. He is Lord. And we yield, submit, and surrender, and who He is comes on us. And we go, ta-da! We're His workmanship. Created in Christ. Ta-da! And all of a sudden, He makes you shine. A minute ago, you knew nothing. You've been with Him, and now you know Him, and it changes everything dramatically. I'm 4 weeks saved, and I got 20 people sitting around my blanket at a pool? That's ridiculous. I didn't go to evangelize. I just went to swim with my kids. I'm not under the pressure to preach to the public. Your life speaks loud when you know Him. Peter said that every one of us should be ready to give an answer when asked for the hope that they see in us. And my question is, how many of us get run up to and ask for the hope that's in us? I'm not being mean. That's not condemning. It means there's a place to grow. There's an eye to change. There's something for God to when we're alone with Him, so that you wake up and understand why you woke up. You didn't wake up to be treated nice. You didn't wake up for your day to go good. You didn't wake up to miss traffic. You woke up to be like Him, to walk with Him, to know Him, because that's why He made you to be one. You want to live from that place, because everybody profits. And all of a sudden, it's never again about you. It's about Christ in you. And He's the hope of God's glory. Oh, man. I hope you're okay with me this morning, because I don't even know how I'm standing here. I'm crying inside. I just want to go sit in a corner and just cuddle. I'm serious. I do it. I don't care what anybody thinks. You guys ought to loosen up and get in love. Come on. Put on your dress and look nice.
for the king. What I mean is your righteousness. I look so good to him, it's ridiculous.
Come on.
He made me beautiful.
Come on.
He took away everything that was flesh and sin and self-centered and deceived. He took everything that was Adam after the tree and he took it away. And he put me before the tree and clothed me with Christ. People say, Dan, you're awesome. Oh, Dan, we love you. Dan, you have a relationship. Dan, you're this. Dan, you don't know how God's using you to change it. I'm thinking, I ain't doing nothing. I've just been with him and it's not my fault. I don't ever try. You might need to hear. I don't ever try, ever even remotely try to be a Christian. I don't even know what that phrase means. How to live the Christian life. What are you talking about? Put the pen down. I never wake up and try to be good. I never even remotely woke up and thought to try not to sin. It's not even on my mind. What are you saying? You're perfect? I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm saying you don't have to live the way you think when you know him. His grace is greater than our inability. And I don't have to have secrets, and I don't have to stumble, and I'm not sin waiting to happen. I'm not failure in the making. I'm a child of God, and he loves me. And he's put something in my heart way different than I ever knew. You guys all right? I hope so, because I'm not. But this is the stuff we should gather for. We should gather to stay focused on why we woke up. Mercy woke you up today. Mercy woke you up today. You're alive. Whoa! It's not so you can dread life. It's not so you can begrudge life. Mercy woke you up today to give you one more day to look like your Father. And if you'll step into why you're here, you'll step into the grace of the day. If you step out of why you're here, you were so on your own. No wonder it's so tough and life seems like this. Because your mind is in another realm and your emotions aren't reformed and redeemed and renewed to truth. And all of a sudden we're just mere men with a doctrine. No, we're not. The kingdom of God is here and it's in me. The spirit, the presence, the nature, and the life of God is in me. Sure is. And I like it. You guys all right? I'm not trying to wig you out. I'm telling you, we're not what we think. We were taught by a lie from the time you can remember. You were trained in the fall of man from the time we were born. You were trained by the wisdom of the world. And if you're like me, when you heard the gospel, it was more in doctrine form and what we should be, should do, and shouldn't do so we can make the grade and someday be in heaven. And next thing you know, life's still the same. Emotions are still the same. Attitudes are still the same. Motives are still the same. And it's all a lie. You weren't made that way. You became that way when he ate that tree. It's not who you are. Who he is in you is who you are. And you put that off and recognize that none of that was what I was created to be. It was all taught to me in a lie. I was homeschooled in the wrong home. I was trained by false teachers. I grew up in a self-centered realm. From the time I was born, I was in survival mode, trying to find my identity along the way. And when those kids laughed at me in grade school at lunch, and they giggled and made fun of me, I felt it. And I either in that point became introverted and broken and insecure, or a fighter. And all along the way, you're being fashioned by life and formed by things that aren't God. By the time you're a very young age, you're nothing more than a product of the way it's panned out.
and you must be born again. How we reduce that to a prayer to go to heaven is beyond me, but shame on us. Not shame on us, but you know what I'm saying. Like, what were we thinking? Prayer to go to heaven. It's the answer of a transformed life. It's heaven coming back inside of you. It's you being renewed in the spirit of your mind. You cannot afford to say you're a Christian and not allow the Word and Spirit of the living God to change the way you think. There is no integration between the two. There's no fellowship between light and dark, Christ and Belial. There's no fellowship between the two. You can't say you're born again. Hey, little buddy, you're the best. There is no fellowship between the two. You can't just say, oh, wow, I prayed this prayer. I received Jesus into my heart. No, He becomes your life. And you yield to Him and let Holy Spirit retrain you and teach you the truth. You're not conformed to the world. That was the lie. You're in it. You're not of it. Greater is He that's in me than he that's out here. I'm not afraid of the world. I'm not afraid of the spirit of the world. I'm not afraid of boogeyman, devils, evil spirit. No! I'm changed. I see clear. I know who I am now. Great confidence, not arrogance. Great boldness, not arrogance. Truth has made me free.
You get it?
And all of a sudden I realize I have never again since that day woke up for me. That sure makes it easy. You think people are your enemy, you are wrong. You think the devil's your problem. It's living for yourself. The biggest tragedy on earth is men seeking their own. That's why there's so much anger, frustration, controversy, bitterness, jealousy, rightness, legal battles, men seeking their own. The biggest tragedy on the planet is men seeking their own. Jesus said, if you come to me, first deny yourself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for His image. You were never made for you. You were made for His glory. It became all about you when Adam ate the tree and cut himself off from the source of life, from the vine of love. And what was love a second ago became in desperate need of love because he got cut off and died. He was made in God's image and God is love. Man's made for love, not to need love. The reason we need love so desperately is because we were all cut off from the source of love. And even though God loves us, we haven't been loved by God.
So we're trying to get loved by one another.
So we're at the mercy of one another and how that worked for us. And all of a sudden, love gets reduced to need. And I love you really means I need you. Be real with me. So you got to get born again and get grafted back in and get hooked back up to the vine. So a Christian is getting translated and transformed from the need to be loved to fully, completely loved so he can love. So when I got born again, I went from desolate, empty, insecure, in need of love, living at your expense, to dead to all that, loved, fulfilled, lover. Unsaved, need you to love me. Saved, I love you. My days of hurt, you don't have to believe me, time will tell. One day when all things are revealed.
So I'm either a wacko right now or I'm on to something.
I want to be a wacko.
Yeah. I do tell people, I say, listen, don't be afraid to give yourself to the truth I'm preaching. It doesn't mean you'll get like me or have to act like me. You'll just be the best you, but don't be afraid you'll get like me. Don't let me scare you. But here's the deal. My days of being hurt by you ended a long time ago. When this revelation hit me, I have never even thought about being offended by you. It's not possible. I love you. You say, yeah, but wonder if somebody, then I would cry for them because they don't know who they are. And they don't have a clue who they are. And if they knew who they were, they wouldn't be living that way. Why does that make me cry because of them? Why shouldn't I cry for them if I'm seeing like him? Do you think God's hurt by you? Or do you think he's hurting for you? There's a difference. We've learned to cry for ourselves. His love weeps for others. Come on. My days of being offended, disappointed? Are you kidding me? Grace is greater than disappointment comes from self-centered perspective. Things aren't working out the way you hoped, the way you dreamed, the way you desired. And all of a sudden that rises above your personal relationship and your heavenly perspective. And all of a sudden when you're discouraged, it's a sure sign that it's all about you. Because God sees the whole world at once and he's the God of all hope. Why? Because he's love and it's not all about him. It's all about him loving you, and that's what makes it all about him, because he's amazing. Yeah? You know, worship's a gift. God's not insecure. He's not like, I wish somebody would sing about who I am. You know, I see a lot of sin and depravity down there. I wonder if they even remember me. Wait, hark, I hear a voice. I am awesome. I am the Lord. I am the Most High. That is not what worship's for, to encourage God. Moses said, who are you? Who should I tell him sent me? I am. You are? Yeah, I am that I am. That's pretty secure. Worship's a gift. God allows us into the truth of who he is, to worship the beauty of who he is. That's why he inhabits the praises of the people, because the revelation of who he is floods our hearts, floods our minds, comes upon us, and becomes real to us. Yeah? Yeah. I'm telling you, during worship today, I heard the heart of God longing for that intimacy in us, not in an insecure way or a pressure-filled way, but him knowing that it's where our lives are changed. That intimacy swallows up weakness, human mindsets, wrong motivations. Come on, I've been a Christian 19 years. I've been at the pastoral level for 17. I've been very frontline, very involved with folks. I've been involved with lots of folks. And I've learned a lot along the way that we tend to live this way because I believe this. And I'm not talking to you as an individual. I'm talking to us as a whole. I believe the one thing we lack